That's better.
Okay, so now we're ready to say the Pledge of Allegiance. So if you all stand up and join me.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Oops. Got some water over there. Just that one. Okay. All right. Do I have a motion to adopt our agenda for tonight's meeting?
So moved.
Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Roll call.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next up, we have two employees of the month. So I would entertain a motion to approve Vera Spencer as the Classified Employee of the month of November and Sherry Pugh as the Classified Employee for the month of December.
Mm-hmm.
Motion by Mr. Smith.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Ms. Mankins.
You ready?
We're ready.
Well, we'll start with November. Mrs. Spencer, I always make you come up here so I can embarrass you a little bit. It's my privilege tonight to recognize you as the employee of the month, and I get to read what your peers wrote about you on why you should receive this honor. All right? Vera is an extremely dedicated employee. She puts in countless hours making sure all needs are met. She is helpful to parents, students, and staff. She remains professional during times of difficulty. She has true compassion for all those that she serves. Vera completes many tasks, even if already busy, or if they do not specifically fall under her duties. She does an amazing job of coordinating many activities throughout the school year, including graduation.
Mm-hmm.
She is always willing to answer questions. We appreciate all that Vera does. Congratulations.
Thank
and if
you.
You've ever
Hey, Miss Vera, can we shake your hand?
Oh, sure.
Sorry. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Thanks so much.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
And Sherry Pugh, coming up, also from the high school. I'm going to embarrass you too. All right. So I also get to read the peers have written about you. She's a vital asset to our special education program. She's dependable, personable, and eager to help. Always looking for opportunities to better students. She always looks for ways to educate herself and make herself more aware of the needs in the classroom. She's constantly in motion, making sure that all tasks are complete. She goes above and beyond for the students and staff. She collaborates with all staff. She's a ray of sunshine in the entire school environment. She enjoys her job and deeply cares about all students. Sherry is deeply appreciated for her drive, compassion, and dedication.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm. And she's also an active show choir parent who needs to take off to go to a show choir meeting, right?
So
you have a daughter student teaching in Northwood.
I do,
yes. Thank you so much.
Thank you,
Mrs. Spencer. We've witnessed the incredible job that you do, no matter what it is. And I happen to know there's somebody in the audience who used to work with you at another place. And when she heard that you were going to move to our district, she's like, oh my gosh, they were so sad that you were leaving there because she knows what a gem you are. So thank you.
I told her we just let Tom think he runs the place, but we know.
We know.
Runs the place.
Right. Okay, then can we have roll call, please?
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Congrats. Let's see. Next up, we have a presentation from Northwood Elementary. Mm-hmm. Mrs. Wells. And I forgot to thank you for hosting our meeting and having this all set up so nicely. So thank you very much.
Okay. So I'm going to talk a little bit about what Northwood's personalized learning journey has been this year and what we do with our students. And hopefully all the parts and pieces are working. Okay. I'm going to do it this way. Never mind this left hand. So a lot of the staff, parents, students are asking, you know, people ask, why are we doing this? Why are we heading this direction? And so we've had some very interesting conversations and deep conversations as to what our purpose is, why we are heading into the personalized learning, what is it going to do for our students. And so one of the things that I presented to my staff was I asked them two questions that, first of all, is every child in your class really reaching their his or her full potential? And then, who are you willing to leave behind? You know, we're very often teach to the middle and teach to the average, and the kids at the both ends don't always get everything that they should, and we should be pushing every child to reach where they can go to the full potential. So, showed this picture for them. I showed pictures of their own kids and said, this is why we're here. All those kids there every day, their parents expect them to receive the best from us. So I will not look any parent in the face and say, well, you know, today we didn't. So my job is to make sure that the teachers are also doing that. So we're supporting them through that process. But as we go through personalized learning, we're doing a lot of things with our students. And we came up with four habits of mind, and that is caring, creative, respectful leaders. And you'll see that on our logo, on our compass that we use, where the navigators and the kids have embraced that. the students were involved in creating that compass, so they have owned that. And we are now working this year on how to really hone in on these four credit character traits that we feel are important here. So the first thing we did last year, I know I talked about our Crayons to College program that we do here. So we created dream teams. So every teacher, every staff member here has 10 or 11 students that they kind of mentor and meet with, and that's their dream team. And they're students from K through 4 and every dream team. So last year, and when our fourth graders moved out, we put our new kindergartners in the group, and but the rest of the group stayed the same. So we're setting up mentor opportunities for some of our fourth graders within that those groups. We also use those groups to discuss our habits of mind. We did an activity on creativity with them. Later this month, we're going to do the Start with Hello program that has to do with the Sandy Hook. So we're going to have our kids kind of doing some activities with that and working with that. It's all part of that. Last year we did a career day at the end of the year, which was a big hit, and the kids loved it. So this year we're going to kind of incorporate some of the passion projects, and it's not going to be just what careers, but also maybe some things that people do outside that is just their passion. It might be, you know, swimming, it might be gymnastics, it might be dance, and so getting some other people within the community that the kids say, man, that's really what I like to do, and listening to them and see how they get there. For some people, their career is their passion, and it kind of blends together, but often those are some activities we do on this on the side. So it's that opportunity for kids to look at what they do and what is important to them. This year I started our Good News Calls home to parents. And so teachers give me names, staff members say, hey, you know, so-and-so has really been working hard. It's not always because they're getting A's or academically strong, but a lot of times it's, you know, they've really worked hard, they're showing respect, they're supporting other students. I actually had last week a parent send me an email. Her child was new here and did not want her mom to walk her across the street and come to school. She wanted to be the independent first grader. Well, she walked across the crosswalk and fell and dropped her book bag, and it was all over. And a little kindergartner came up, didn't know her, helped her, got her stuff together, helped her out, and got her into school. And so that mom found out who that child was and sent me an email. So it was a good news call home to say, hey, you know what, this is what your child did today. And the parents love it. I usually have to start with, there's nothing wrong. And they're like, there's nothing wrong. They didn't do anything bad. This is a good news. And then they love that. And the kids love being able to talk to them on the phone and just kind of tell about their day and brag about what they've been doing. So that's been a hit this year. We have been doing different things to celebrate creativity with our students and parents and staff. If you see, we did a twin day, or dressed like a staff member. So, young man there, Antonio's doing this. He was dressed like Mr. Hensinger. With a mustache, a physical thing. What activities I do is we had a STEM night. And the activities I do with the parents, I also do with the teachers, so that they can see, well, these are some things you can incorporate into your classroom. Those times when the kids are kind of thinking outside of the box. Then we've done some community projects which were led by students. The first one was we had a teacher that worked here that left last year and moved back to Houston. So she was affected by the flood. And her school was not, but a school that was next to them, which they had to take in, was. So we raised money to send gift cards. We also had some kids bring in books and things, and we sent those to their students. And then recently, I got some fourth graders together and said, what some ideas you want to do? And they came up with raising money to give to the Hope Center coats and blankets and things for the personal needs, so that display out there is what they were able to do. We raised over $900 selling hot chocolate in the morning and having a movie right before Christmas break. So they really got into it. And kind of the neat part is I've had three or four students since we've come back from break say, how about if we, I see a need, can we raise money for this or can we help support this? So it's kind of spreading across our school. It's kind of neat because it's all student-led. I just help support them and do what they need to do. So one of our teachers does passion projects, and it's just kids, why they pick the project, they go with it, they do it. So this was right before Christmas, so that's why they're dressed like they are. This is Paxton. Okay, he can tell you what his passion was and why.
All right, you are Paxton. Alright, what was your driving question, man?
My driving question was, how does my state become Michigan's rival?
Fantastic question. What made you so interested in wanting to... Hold on.
They were out in the hallway, so...
Excellent. So what made you want to study the rivalry of Ohio State?
I've always liked watching them play football and sometimes basketball on TV. And it's really interested me.
This other one, this is Alexis, and she, this is the true meaning of why we have the kids do this, because she picked a topic that became very near and dear to her.
Starting right now. So the first question I have for you is, what was your driving question?
My driving question was kind of and how they happen.
And why did you choose that as your driving question? What made you so interested in wanting to learn about it?
Because my dad just had a stroke recently.
Really? So is he okay?
Yeah.
Oh. So what have you learned since you started your project before?
That there is kind of strokes and that they're more severe than others.
All right. Well, I'm going to make sure it's not the right...
So, her father recently had a stroke. She had this opportunity to use that as her springboard for that. And she's always kind of been into the medical field kind of things, but this really hit home for her, and so she was able to study that more. As we're taking this journey, we have some of our teachers who are just kind of what I'm calling are like trailblazers, and they're doing something very innovative. They're really trying to do some different things, take some different steps and some... on the journey and trying to, they're really getting out there and doing some things for the rest of us to kind of follow and figure out, oh, that looks like a good way to do it. So we, in January, we had this staff go to some classrooms. We didn't have students that day. It was our professional development day. and we had six groups, and the teachers went there and listened to the teacher talk about what they were doing. So we had Heather Cements is our first one, and Heather is a first grade teacher. She's new to us this year. She came from Mill Valley, and some of you may have known her father. And she is doing voice and choice with first graders, so it's just really showing us that we can do this at any age.
So I guess you're here because I'm trying out the voice and choice for my reader's workshop. So it's just like, I mean, a lot of you probably already do the centers, which is what I was doing too. And so the twist with that is you just kind of, so I did that at the beginning of the year where I have it up on the board where they know on this day they're going to go to this one and then this one. But then I think I started at the end of October maybe. We sat down and we pulled in the word navigator and talked about, like, what does it mean to be a navigator? And I said, well, I think you guys are ready now to navigate your own learning. So I said, how about in Reader's Workshop, how could you show me, like, how could you grow your brain during Reader's Workshop? What are all the ways that we've learned? So the voice over here is kind of the what they're doing. And over here is kind of how they're doing it. The choice, that's kind of what we came up with. I don't know if I was right, but so like Raz Kids, big books, and listening to a book, a listening station, a browsing box, which is in their cubby, the little baskets. Those are all of the guided reading books that we read, and then they keep them throughout the year so they can go back. A library book, word study, sight words, and phonics, and then the choices we do with the flexible seating, so they can do these activities on a rug, in a basket, at a table. They can do it in a buddy, and they do pretty good. I don't really have to tell them who they should and shouldn't work with. Some of them actually surprise me that one don't work independent a lot, so I wouldn't have known that if I didn't take them out of those groups before. So they can choose to work on the floor independently or on the chair or stool. And then, so we did it the first week, and they were pretty excited, so I knew it was going to go well at first because they're pretty motivated. And after the first week of trying it, I realized some of them would benefit from like kind of having a little schedule for themselves. So I'll pass this. You guys can keep these because I have them.
Stop that there. Somehow this video changed on it because that was not the video. So but she does this, like I said, with her first graders, and she's found that they're actually fewer discipline concerns because her kids are engaged. They're doing what they want. She doesn't have to worry that, are they in the right group at the right station at the right time? And the kids are buying into it. She also has them set goals at the beginning of the week that has to around their reading centers, and then they use that goal to see how they do at the end of the week. Then the other person,
someone I know, knows,
and this is Lauren Devine. She's one of our third grade teachers, and she's probably ahead of the curve of most of the teachers, all the teachers here. She has really stepped out of the box and really tried some new things. And so she had this. This is where we all went ahead, I think.
Also Carrie's, because her proficiency scales and everything were kind of what I've been using to lead into this, and I kind of think I was working pretty similar to her after listening to what she was talking about. And I'm going to start talking about math. This is my math goals chart. But what I did was I kind of planned out math like everybody would, your continuum for the year, and then like I'd spend 2 weeks on one standard and we'd move on to the next one. And then, like Carrie, we did like a rewind or fast forward week where like we take some time for kids who had missed the standards that we had talked about, or had gotten them all, and we did some enrichment during that time. And then I realized that like the kids who were getting it pretty quickly were just spending 2 weeks sitting waiting for the standard to be over so they could move on. So I kind of felt crazy, but I decided like, let's just let the kids go and work on the standards and see, like, go at their own pace. So we kind of just jumped in and did it. But I made, we obviously use this pre-assessments, and I have some online resources that they can use so they can go to the standard that they're working on, and then there's different, like Khan Academy or iReady lessons that'll help kind of do blended learning to teach that standard. So this is really just making students self-monitor their own learning and being aware of their progress and their goals. So I have chart for reading, writing, and math, and then it's broken up into all the standards that we'll go through. These magnets show what standards they're working on, and then once they master a standard, they get a sticker for that standard into the strands in the standards. So if they're doing operations and algebraic thinking, they have to go in order in that strand, so they're not doing like patterns of multiplication before they did multiplication. And one thing with pre-assessment, at the beginning of the year I was nervous about doing a pre-assessment for every standard, because you have kids who don't have a lot of stickers, who, like, they do a pre-assessment, I'm like, great, I don't know any of this, like, this is awful. But it's really, I think we've created a classroom culture where it's like, this is just showing me what you know and what you're ready to learn, and everybody's kind of at their own place and doing their own thing, and it's been actually, like, really good. And then I was also nervous about having this up here for, like, the whole class to see where everybody is, but it's interesting because, like, the kids who haven't met as many standards, they can see who has mastered certain standards, and they actually go and ask them, like, how do I do this problem, or how does this work?
So that's what Lauren, and I will tell you that her third graders have really become teachers in that classroom. Some of them will make videos that will be used then to teach whoever comes to that standard next. That's also a way for them to show mastery and that they understand the concept. She has made some videos for the kids to watch as she goes. It's been a learning process, and she changes and says, okay, let's now change this and done. But and a lot of hard work, but the kids, it really has paid off for the kids. And if you walk into her classroom, you'll see kids doing, you know, 10 different things. But they all are on, they're all engaged, they're all right where they're supposed to be, they're learning. And they use her then as a resource, but they use other students as resources. So it's always interesting to watch that dynamics. And the class environment is just is wonderful, and they're all willing to help each other. She has special ed kids in there, and you wouldn't know them from anybody else, and any needs or anything else. They're all just kind of one big happy family kind of philosophy there. So really, like I said, this is why we're doing this. I keep emphasizing that to my staff. I think they're buying into that, and they're willing to move forward. And so as we continue this year and into the next, we're using the continuum builds and the things that we're working on district-wide, but also people like Lauren and Heather and some of our other teachers that we showcased on that day. Now people are going in and wanting to see them. They want to go see the classrooms. So they're arranging for classroom visits, and they're getting together, and they're using our coach for resources. And so it's kind of neat to see that it's slowly starting to spread across. So that's Northwood's journey right now. Do you have any questions?
I love those phone calls home. Oh.
The kids love it, because first they come down like, oh gosh, what did I do? And then when I explain it to them, because they're just as nervous as the parents are. So yeah it's kind of. Because they aren't all our angels that I call.
Grandparents by getting those calls too.
Oh, I'm an addicts fan, huh? Yeah.
So what did she say happens when they are allowed to move on to the next standard at their own pace?
So what she has found is that, and it's been different for reading than math. So math, a lot of times they'll stay in the one string, so they might stay in numbers and operations and follow that along. But sometimes they're kind of tired of that, so they'll move over to geometry. And they go at their pace. We have different pre-assessments. We have iReady assessments, so they kind of know where they start. We have a video of her, like, she'll have conferences with the kids, and they'll explain, well, you know, I mastered this. This is how I was able to show it. I'm ready for the next one, and this is what I'd like to do next. If they know they're not comfortable with it, I mean, these are 8 and 9 year olds who are saying, you know, I'm not really comfortable with that. I think I need to go back and look at that. And so they'll go back and kind of revisit it and get some more information. So something that you wouldn't think the conversations for that age level, they're there, and the kids are just picking up. And some of them, you know, are way ahead of the group, and so they'll go into the next set, or they'll go deeper into whatever standard that is. They might have a project creating some of the videos for learning, for teaching other students, those types of things.
Thank you.
I want to call attention to the fact that you seem to be able, through the staff and with the kids, to build a culture of friendship. And it shows in the classroom demonstrations where the teachers are talking about kids helping one another, kids going and asking for assistance from their peers and so forth, kids stopping and helping somebody that dropped their books and doing those kinds of things. And so I commend you on that. That's really nice.
Thank you. We're not here just for the academic side. We have some other, you know, obligations that I think for our students and for their future. So we're really, those habits, we're really honing in on those this year. So.
Which reminds me of the visit that you had from Ronald McDonald.
Oh, yes.
And that, I think that was in December, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. I want to just tell him a little bit about that, because it was really neat.
Dressed up like Ronald McDonald. It actually, it's through the through McDonald's. He came and talked about leadership with the students and did some things. And it just fit right in with everything. So when we do our celebrations of learning that we do monthly, when we do some of our activities, we try to blend it all together and blend it there. So, yes, right. The gentleman came and did some magic things and then talked about being a leader and what does it mean. And so the kids can see the connection that it's not just here that we're talking about it, but across.
Right. It's kind of that culture, like, you know, just how everything fits together, caring about each other. So, yeah, good stuff. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
It was wonderful. Oh, and now go home and take care of yourself. I know. I'm bad about you. Okay. Do we know, is there any public? Okay. I'll check and see if there's any public participation. Nope. Okay. Then next up, we have the Ohio High Point Report from Mr. Chivington.
All right. Good evening.
Hi there.
All right. Well, it's just as cold in Bell Fountain as it is here.
Okay.
just a couple updates for you. First of all, we recognized a student from Randallsville, a student who's a month. His name is Hunter Cole from the welding and fabrication area. So he was our December student of the month. Also, we have the regional skills competition coming up in March.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be March 3rd, and we'll be hosting that on the campus. Also, we had our fall career preview in November. We had 250 people attend the fall preview on campus. Also, we had for the next coming year, we had our first chance application opportunity in December. So that was successful. Also, we've been doing a lot of collaboration with Marysville on some different items, mainly the Ag Department, and trying to collaborate there with the Turf Management Program. And so several of the district satellite directors have been trying to collaborate with the program here.
Good timing with that one, I think, okay. Right? I said, I think we've got a project coming up.
Yeah.
It's going to be perfect timing.
That's right. Also, for the board, we have our ribbon cutting ceremony in April, and you're invited to that. We have the Sloan Smart Technology Center opening up. And so construction on that will be done here in February in about 2 or 3 weeks. But the ribbon cutting ceremony will be from 5 to 6:30 on April 4th.
Okay.
And so you can attend and be welcome to host you. So it'll be a fun time.
Yeah.
The All Awards Bank will also be on Sunday.
Okay.
So if you remember, that was January, February last year, and it's April this year. So you're welcome to attend. All right.
Okay.
And then also the board approved the resolution to start the levy campaign. And that happened this month. So we gave approval to go. So I'm sure Dr. Smith was here last month, and you heard about that.
And that's going to be on, and that's going to be on in May, right? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
As always, if you ever need anything, give a shout.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Okay. Superintendent's report.
All right. First things first. This month is Board Recognition Month. So I'll just say a few words. I think that this school district and community are fortunate to have five people who really, really care deeply about kids and lead our district in a way that puts kids first. And I wouldn't say that's typical of every school district. So on behalf of the students and staff of Marysville, I want to thank all of you for your contribution and commitment to that, and that it stays unwavering. Sometimes we have to make tough decisions, but the first thing out of everyone's mouth at this table is really, well, what's in it for kids, or how do kids benefit as a result of the decision we're about to make? And that makes me really proud and honored to work with all of you, and makes me happy for the kids and parents of this community. So I do have a little certificate, and I thought maybe at the end we could have Jonathan take a picture just to update kind of our new board since our January meeting, and have that on the website as well.
Sure.
Okay.
Okay.
So I'll work my way around. Sue? There you go. I know. You need my mother's in front of everyone, wouldn't it? Maybe Brian.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mary.
You're welcome.
Thank you.
Okay. It is not going to stay. She's not going to be here the whole night either, so I don't know about it.
Okay.
Well, good. Whatever.
Okay. Next is, I wanted to give you a quick Calamity Day report. Unfortunately, the weather has hit us pretty quickly. We've used 5 days so far. And just a reminder that we approve a calendar a couple years in advance that lays out our Calamity Day schedule. As we all know, the state moved to hours a couple years ago. Yes, we far exceed hours in our calendar. However, we want our kids at school, and we want our kids learning, so that's why we make up 2 days right off the bat. So basically, it's 2 days make up, kind of a 5-day freebie in between, and then blizzard bags follow. So feedback from kids and parents and staff is we're not great fans of blizzard bags. That's why we moved that to the end of the rotation. We will be making up those first 2 days, March 9th and April 2nd. So we've communicated that in several different ways. So that is out there. Hopefully it's the end of it. Those 4 a.m. drives are getting a little old, I can tell you, in the freezing rain, so hopefully they go away pretty quickly. On tonight's agenda, I just thought I would give a quick update. We have an architect contract for consideration under my items. I just wanted to give you an update for the stadium project. We have site visits scheduled next week, in which a team from our district will be accompanying the MSA architects to look at some other design projects that they have done and get some ideas on some ways in which we might rearrange some of the things on our initial plans. We do realize that it's going to be a lengthy process. If you looked through the agreement prior to tonight, the thought is really, probably, you know, if we go with a 10-month kind of idea, it would be starting actually at the middle school so that high school track athletes would still have a place to practice. That entire project might not be complete first, but the track might go in first. So those are the things we're kind of wrestling with right now and trying to figure out the details of that. But definitely the idea that we'd have to start at the middle school so that when the I guess deconstruction would take place at the high school, that we would have a plan for that and not have to find an alternate location for that to take place. I think Sue's going to bring up as well, possibly moving our February meeting. The city is hosting a State of the City address in one at the Early College High School, and they've asked us to partner in that evening with them, kind of talking about workforce development in our community and development. It'll feature some of our students as well. So I think that will be later, but I wanted to put that on your calendar.
Yeah.
Other things, we've talked on and off, probably for the past several years, about valedictorians and rumor mill that there were going to be 125 to 150 valedictorians this year. So I did do actually talked with Vera and talked with Vera in the early college. And right now it's a 7-semester figure, but some grades aren't hard yet. Students, there may be a little wavering, but it appears that we'd have 42 students at the high school and 23 at the early college that would meet our new valedictorian criteria, which would be a total of 65. Last year there were 28. When we really got down and started looking at things, really, it's not the new the change in requirement that has facilitated that, but an increased opportunity for College Credit Plus courses. So previously, those courses weren't necessarily weighted. Now they are by state law. So that is what we're really seeing attributes to the higher number is 65. So I know that all of you have heard feedback in differing ways, so I wanted to make sure I gave you some information on that. Levy update, our core committee meeting is scheduled for next week, so we're ahead of the game. Our levy won't be on until November. The strategy is really going to be a more of a personalized approach. We are going to split up into teams by elementary boundaries and have neighbors work and identify with neighbors. So we'll be kicking that off. Chris Mank and Jared Weiss, again, are our co-chairs. And probably closer to May, they'll start attending our meetings regularly to give you updates on the committee. Okay. And that's really, I think, when you'll see more of a presence. A lot of this will be pre-planning and leadership kind of opportunities and that event. And I think that's all I have for you this evening.
Okay. I did think of something. So our last meeting in November, we did have the one public participation about subpay, and so I know you had sent some information out about that, but just kind of wanted to make sure that we were all aware that, you know, that some of those concerns that he brought up, that we have been researching them, and I think you found that that's we're kind of the same as many other districts as far as
We're a little bit on the lower end,
and
so we've looked at some cost issues and what the increased costs would be with that. We've kind of looked at some principals have had some other kind of different ideas about, for example, Kathy threw out the idea of just maintaining a permanent sub all year and then never getting a sub for anyone else. So we're doing some cost analysis with that. So we are working on that.
Okay. Any questions? Looks like Mr. Johnson is getting ready for the treasurer's report. I guess while they're getting ready for that a little bit, going back to that stadium project and the timeline, I know you talked about starting at the middle school, and then I thought there was also some comments about adjusting schedules to like with
if
more
need be,
away
we
games
need to get
things
a
like
better
that
grip on when
just the whole timeline
fall. I mean fundraising
right.
is the biggest obstacle right now. We still
right.
need to get our team motivated. We're planning an event for the spring that'll be a kickoff, and
right.
You know, we're not willing to jump on a specific time frame until we have
right.
secured funds to cover the project. So it's kind of
yeah
trying to not put
the cart before the horse. Gotcha. Okay, thanks. All right.
I just have a very brief report, but so I've talked in the past a lot about our open enrollment deduction and our community school deduction, and for those of you that don't know, you know, we get our state per pupil funding each month, comes directly from the state. And out of that, if we have any students that choose to attend another district via open enrollment, or they choose to attend a community school, that money is directly deducted out of that money before it comes to us, but I have to code it as an expenditure, so you'll see each month a large expenditure that goes towards open enrollment and towards community school, to fund those students who are choosing those options. And I've always monitored that closely since I've been here because it's a big financial impact. But one thing I kind of took notice of when I looked at the trend is that it's not just the financial, it's also is a great indicator of the success and the reputation of our school. Mm-hmm. And so when I looked at the trend over the last 4 years, and then back in 2015 when we instituted open enrollment allowing students to choose to come here through open enrollment, in the state of Ohio, there's school choice. Kids can choose where they want to go. And then if we have a poor reputation, then students are going to choose something else. Mm-hmm. What I noticed with this trend is students are choosing Marysville more and more. So looking back in 2015 compared now to 2018, that's a difference of 71 students now choosing Marysville compared to back in 2015, and you can see the trend is continuing, so that's a good thing. And then the next one that is obviously even more exciting to me looks at that from a dollar standpoint. So you can see it is very significant dollars, over $1.8 million back in 2015 of money that's basically leaving the district to go to open enrollment schools or community schools. So looking in 2018 with those 71 additional students choosing to stay at Marysville, that equates to a difference of $402,000. So that's basically $402,000 of additional revenue that we have to spend in the district. So again, I just thought that was a great indicator of, things are really, going well in Marysville.
Thanks. Yeah. That is nice to see that. So good job. Okay. Let's see. Next up for me, I've got a short report this month. We'll start out with talking about our community coffees. I know we did those through November, I think, and then we always take a little bit of a break during the winter months and around the holidays.
So the new dates for the spring community coffees are going to be February 10th, March 10th, April 14th, and May 12th. And all of them will be at Fifth Street Cafe right downtown Marysville.
Okay.
That seems to be where we've had the most attendance. We've tried holding coffees in different venues, and attendance is always best if we stay at the Fifth Street Cafe.
So. Okay. I'm sorry, what date did you say for April?
April 14th.
14th. Okay. Okay, so let's see, February 10th, if anybody knows that they want to cover one or are able to, want them to just contact
the
man.
And we can talk sometime tonight, and I'll send the list, hopefully with all the months filled out, to the board office for the website to be updated.
Okay, sounds good. Thank you very much.
Yep.
Let's see, and then some opportunities for involvement. I think we all received an email from Kim Wilson about Bunsold Science Fair. They're going to be, the day that they have scheduled is February 13th, and if there's bad weather that day, it would be February 14th, but I believe it's from like 9:30 to 2, something like that. So if you are interested, I believe she'd need to know by the end of this month. But Kim Wilson is at Bunsold, so check your emails and get back with her. It's really a great day. You get to go around and look at these really interesting science projects and talk to the students, and then you have to do the tough part, the grading part.
Yeah.
But it's a nice opportunity to get out there and see what some of our students and teachers are doing. Let's see, last night Mr. Smith and I both attended a chamber meeting. It was kind of a joint chamber board meeting. Really, I thought it was really interesting. They just had a lot of different presentations, but one thing that I made note of is that when they were talking about jobs out there, it was kind of that in this area we have a shortfall of IT workers as well. So we know that we need manufacturing workers, but IT was a real big push too. So just kind of throwing that out there. And then again, as Diane said, Terry Emery from the city did talk to me about the fact that they're doing their State of the City address on February 15th, which is when our board meeting is. They said that they thought it would be done by about 7 o'clock, but they are planning to have a panel that would include Diane and possibly myself, and so didn't know if we might want to consider changing our meeting to the following, the later week, February 22nd. So if you want to
That's fine
check.
With me. I already know I'm gone on the previous week anyway, as I told you.
Okay. So February 22nd looks good for everybody. Mm-hmm. So then we would just have to, I think it's supposed to be at Creekview, so just double check with them, but we'll do that. And then I didn't know with March, did you want to?
Yep, we can move that.
Okay, yeah, so March, yeah, since we have our superintendent's going to be chaperoning our choir's trip, one of the chaperones on our choir's trip on March 15th, so if we could move the March 15th one to March 22nd as well. So, you know, that's a couple months off if you want to double check your calendars, and I'll send out a reminder.
Send to March what?
March 22nd.
Where's that one at?
Oh, is that might be Tri? Is that Tri Academy? In March.
Well, it's okay.
I can't remember.
Down.
Yeah. Okay, so we definitely know that February we'll move to the 22nd, and then we'll confirm March sometime soon, or at the very latest at our February meeting. And then finally, some training opportunities. OSBA, you know, provides a lot of really nice professional development for board members. So the first one is the board officer training, and they have one on February 3rd in either Findlay or in Columbus, same day. So if you'd like to attend that, contact Todd. I'm planning to go there, which I have to remember to send you an email. And then there's a School Finance 101, which I've been to that a while ago, but, you know, if anybody's interested in that, that's on February 22nd. And then further on down the road, the Board Leadership Institute that's always up at the Hilton in Polaris is April 27th and 28th, and the Capitol Conference, November 11th and 13th. So those, you know, you can find those if you go to OSBA Workshop or the website, but just kind of nice to get those on your calendars. And finally, I also sent you the information about the OSBA Award of Achievement. It's actually due tomorrow, but it's something to think about for board members. If you are pretty consistent in going to the Board Leadership Institute and Capitol Conference, Dick's our legislative liaison, if you attend the regional conferences, I mean, just things that help you become a better board member, they do like to recognize that. So. Just be aware of that and kind of be keeping track of your points. So, and that's all I have. So, legislative report.
All right. In the spirit of keeping things short, I think we all got notification that the House passed two bills, House Bill 443 or 343, and House Bill 371. The first. Requires that a school district, if we contest a valuation on a piece of property, we have to act on each piece of property individually and have an action before the board. Mm-hmm. There is a board of revisions that notifies the property owners, and that's really where the action takes place. 371 would exempt property that is under construction from increases in taxes until the construction is complete. And both of those would have a negative impact not only on our own school district, but on school districts across the state. I've expressed that to Representative Philanda and to Senator Burke. And will continue, as it's passed the House, I'll continue to transmit that to Senator Burke. Also, in talking with Representative Philanda and Senator Burke, there are companion bills, House Bill 200, Senate Bill 85, that would completely revamp the voucher program in the state, and voiced a number of different concerns. Ended up having about a 45-minute phone call with the chief sponsor of that legislation, finding out what his particular view was, expressing concerns about the legislation impact on public education. We'll continue to work on that. Between now and our next meeting, I'll have a chance to go to Washington. I told our board president that I spent about 2.5 hours working on a presentation this morning and then hit delete, and then spent 2.5 hours this afternoon reconstructing that. But the focus at the
new
national level for the National School Board Association that I'll be taking there is going to focus on providing flexibility, trying to reduce federal regulations that don't make sense for education, trying to convince the legislators that we, and it was a nice presentation, and this stuff tails very nicely into it, that we embrace school choice. We think that parents ought to guide the education of their children, and we're going to compete to be the best option, and that we want to encourage, this is the message both to the state and the national government, that we want to encourage them to do things which allow us to be the best option, the best choice, and in general to support public education in this state and public education in the country. Statistically, about 9 out of every 10 children in the country attend a public school. In the state of Ohio, that's 1.7 million children that are going to public schools, and that has stayed pretty consistent. The data indicates that the schools that children attend through vouchers have about the same success that public schools do. They are very successful with some, not as successful with others. So hopefully we can build some support for the public school system as it's carrying the weight of trying to educate every single child to the fullest of their ability, regardless of who they are. ECOT has been in the news, and I don't know whether they're still in existence today, tomorrow. I've had a chance to check that today. I was deleting and rewriting. But I don't know if we have some idea of where we would be receiving some students if that option for them closes. But that's part of the message that I carry, is that even if parents choose a private option for their child, if that's the best educational option for their child, you know, we support that. We also have to maintain a seat and the readiness to take that child back and to move them forward and give them the best education we possibly can. So,
great. Well, thank you for that, all that effort today. I think you'll do a fine job representing us. I really appreciated it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Could I have Karen come back up?
Sure. Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Oh, yeah. Right.
Sarah's been sitting there.
Oh, sorry.
So this is my fault.
I saw it there, too. Sorry. Yes.
Sarah. This is Sarah Cole. She is one of the coordinators at Big Brothers Big Sisters here in Marysville.
Hello.
And for a number of years, Big Brothers Big Sisters, I don't know how to say this, but I shake your hand, but I've been coughing all day, so I'm going to give you this. For a number of years, Big Brothers Big Sisters has set up a lunch buddy program at our school, and they also go to Navin. And so they have volunteers that come in once a week. So here at our school, they come in on Tuesdays and meet with some of our kids. And some of the relationships that have been built, they've been together for about 4 years. We have one fourth grader who, at the beginning of the year this year, he said, "Well," and I forget his big brother's name, and he's like, "I'm so glad you're back. It's good to see you." So they've built some really strong relationships. It's great for our kids, and they just enjoy that kind of adult time, and they do some really cool things with the kids and play games and just talk to them, and there's somebody there for them. And I had worked at Big Brothers Big Sisters many years ago in Franklin County, so I kind of know what their job is. So we appreciate that.
Thank you very much. Okay, Safety and Drug Committee report.
So I am going to introduce Sean Williams and Holly Weissig, and they are going to take over my portion tonight.
Okay.
All right. I'm Sean Williams.
I'm Holly Weissig.
Hi there.
I'm going to start and just talk a little bit about the school and of this partnership. We partner with Holly and her organization, and also we have students from the Early College High School that set up the photography, and then we also have art students at Marysville High School that create the posters. And I'm going to call Mrs. Friend up here. I didn't tell her I was doing this, but she deserves a ton of credit for this project. She does an outstanding job. I came to her last year and asked her to participate in this, and our kids, we first started out with a private organization that did this, and I think, I mean, I'm a little biased, but I think our kids did a much better job than what we paid this professional organization to do. They were a personal touch on these projects and did an outstanding job with the posters. The posters will go up in Creekview and Bunsold, and we're working at having a time where the students can go down and interact with those students, and the purpose is to get them to realize that not everybody is making bad choices. A lot of kids have a viewpoint that high school kids are partying and doing negative things, but we want them to understand that there are a lot of kids making good choices out there. And I'm so proud of these young people for having the courage to do this, because it takes courage to have your image put on a poster, put around town, and to stand up for what you believe in publicly, and it takes courage, and I'm very proud of them. And every year I say this, that I'm so impressed with their dedication to this message and their true caring about their community. I think a lot of people do these kinds of things to get all, stuff for their college resume, but these kids really believe in this, and I'm so impressed with them. At a young age, they just do an outstanding job, and I'm very proud of each and every one of these students and the art students for their time and dedication, and it's just an awesome experience for everybody, I think.
It's a win-win.
Yeah.
So again, I'm Holly Weissig. I'm with the Union County Drug Free Coalition. I get the pleasure of working with a number of youth throughout the community, and I just want to say special thanks to, of course, Mr. Williams and Mrs. Friend for their partnership with this. I also want to thank Amy Powers and also Jonathan for his role with our coalition as well. For those of you who don't know, the name of our initiative is called Above the Influence. It's not our own. It's actually a national peer-led initiative that recognizes kids to make their voice heard among their peers nationally about making the good choices of living above the negative influences of substance use, bullying, social media, and negative relationships. These students were actually selected. They were actually nominated among the staff members at the Early College High School and at the high school. Their names were brought forward unbeknownst to them. They were then selected, and then we asked them if they would like to participate. And they got to do a photo shoot, which is a little awkward when they don't know me and what's all going on. But they were champions with the whole thing. And then, as Sean indicated, we give those same images to our art students, and they have no say in what those posters final say, what the final image looks like. So it's really the creative genius between those students. I couldn't do what they do in a year's worth of instruction, and Kelly does a great job with those students too. So I'm so grateful for that. So we're going to ask our students who are here tonight, not everybody could be, to come up and receive their poster. They haven't seen it yet. So they each get a copy to keep for themselves. As Mr. Williams indicated, the rest of those will go out in the community and schools. And then the neat part for us, too, is Bunsell Middle School felt so strongly about how great this was received within their own population. They decided to echo that same image and do nominate students within the 7th and 8th grade levels and do mini posters, if you will, within their own buildings. Then these will go up there too, and in late April we'll have our high school students go down and do a breakfast with them. It's really a great opportunity because, again, I can't enforce enough. We do the Youth Risk Behavior Survey every 2 years, and how much feedback we get that those younger peers feel so strongly about what they believe to be accurate in what they see and what they hear of their older peers doing. And we want to make sure that they hear and see the correct message in what they see in those posters among the kids that are being referenced in this campaign. It's really important for them to hear positive messages and see that not every kid is making negative choices. So thank you once again. I'm going to start and ask Ms. Danielle George to come up. Danielle's poster was done by Maddie Benz, and I'm going to let you do one of these Vanna Whites that you can show our board members. There you go.
Excellent.
And then you get to drill them with questions if you want to afterward. There you go. There's a full photo shoot in the hallway afterward.
Yeah,
you leave
correct.
The hallway.
Oh,
there
okay.
you go. Don't worry. Adding on the ground. And Robin just stepped out, King is one of the art students who's here tonight. She was fantastic about doing Addie's poster, and she did Michael's as well, which I'll show in just a second. Thank you. There you go. All right, Kinsey Lee. Here she comes. Look how big your face is on here. There you go. All of our students are seniors this year, with the exception of Michael Mulkin. Michael, you can come on up too. Michael and Hawkins were featured in this poster, but Michael was right here. There you go. Michael was a senior last year and is attending University. So Michael's on break, so we were lucky to catch him. I know, and during the photo shoot, I had to be really good and not work with a working dog. All right, the next one we have is Brendan Ralston. And I want to say how much everybody changes so much, and Brendan probably sticks out to me the most, but these were taken last spring. So
wow, Brendan. He's sprouting.
I know. Very cool. All right, so this is my confession. Deo's poster, I already told her. We had to tweak a couple of the things, and this one had a misspelling on it from the tweak. It was officially an adult mistake, not a youth mistake. It was correct the first time. But we're rush ordering it, and she'll have the right one tomorrow. So this is Deo. She is also senior this year at Marysville High School. Fabulous. We have three additional posters tonight. I'll be the Vanna for Hayden Tark. Hayden is a senior at Marysville Early College High School. Mr. Williams, Thomas Rush, and Mrs. Friend, can you do this one? Mm-hmm. So other seniors that we have featured will be Jake Marsh. Jake's at a wrestling meet tonight. Mm-hmm. Thomas Rush actually just graduated early. And, again, I appreciate so much the work that everybody put into these. Look for these images around town and in the other schools. We'll make smaller versions of them also that you'll see. We like to get them out and about. So, again, thank you very much. And our art students who worked on these will also have a small copy, too, for their resume as well as any portfolio they put together should they go forward. Anybody have any questions for any art students here tonight?
Just appreciate,
awesome.
Yeah. Appreciate I mean, it. Yeah. It's great stuff. I love going in the buildings and seeing them, and they're just—it's a wonderful message. So,
was it harder writing your saying or posing for the photographer? Those both sound a little intimidating.
Coming up with your quote or doing the
posing is always hard when you have a dog.
Yeah.
It's always.
But on the picture is always really cute when you have a dog too.
Yeah.
Though, so.
Well, I like the quotes. I just wondered if it was hard to, or that they just pop out real quick and easy.
We gave them a fair warning that they need to come up with one.
Okay.
Yeah. part. Yeah,
thank you very much for
you.
For being great role models.
One person I had an opportunity to read a number of things that she has written in the past, and so I will congratulate her on her brevity. She was able to be very succinct
and kind of
presented her thoughts. So congratulations to all. This is one of the first things I look for when I go in the building.
Mm-hmm.
And I stop, and if I've seen it 10 times, I stop and read it again. This is just absolutely amazing.
Yes.
Thank you all.
I just want to say one thing. Holly has such dedication to this, and she's amazing. It is a totally student-centered project, and she makes sure it is that way, going from the students taking the photographs. It's a student that takes the photographs. It's a student that works for them. It's a student that makes the posters. And they get to work as though they are clients of somebody. So my students get to see what it's like to work for a client in a graphic design firm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And they get this true experience from all realms of them creating it 100% for their community.
Right.
And it's a great experience.
I get to go into Kelly's classroom.
She's 100%
like, I don't really
dedicated.
Like that.
Yes.
She's doing this two people that over there.
Well, I remember the posters from last year, and nothing against that company, but these are sharp. These draw you in. I think they did a great job.
They did. Mm-hmm. You can choose to stay if you like, but all parents and students were going to do a photo op out in the hallway for a few minutes before you guys take off.
So, Holly, do you want to update anything on the legislative situation with the marijuana real quick?
Yes, I will very quickly. Okay. I'm going to send you guys all out there.
And I just also want to thank, I want to thank Mrs. Friend, Mr. Williams, and Mrs. Wisek, too, for your leadership. And just, you know, I mean, I guess it's really, it's so exciting to see so many things being student-led. You know, I mean, it's not just the classroom academically, but in everything. So I love it. Thank you.
Thank you.
So Holly's going to update us a little bit on the school situation with the legislation.
So just briefly, so those of you who know, September 8th of this year is we're supposed to go live with the medical marijuana program for the state of Ohio. Right now they're saying that we're still on track. We'll see what that actually looks like. Considerations for that, anything that's that I should say that you need to know about. Within the state of Ohio, we've been placed in a region. Within that region, we are paired with two other counties, Union County, Champaign County, and Madison County. Those county regions have the opportunity to apply for dispensaries, and we have given the opportunity to apply up to two for our three county region. Union County has not received a dispensary award or a processing award at this time that I'm aware of. We had two applications going for our county for grow centers, and neither were accepted. So that's just an update about what that looks like right now. I will tell you right now, the only flux that we're continuing to monitor, as some of you may have heard in the news, U.S. Attorney General Jeff Sessions, thank you for recognizing all that, they're adorable. Jeff Sessions has announced that basically at the state level, states can choose to move forward with prosecution with medical or recreational marijuana if they choose, because they're still recognizing the federal legislation as it being an illegal substance. What does that mean to Ohio? Nothing right now. We're still moving forward as status quo, but there is some legislation that's being posed right now to suggest that legislation measure would basically not allow any state to step in and stop that form of business as it is right now. So we'll see where that legislation goes. One of the things I would propose is that the board consider policies or protocols moving forward for how the district may be impacted by the use of medical marijuana. That is for your staff, and that is for your students, that is for drug testing, that is for the use of those materials, the storage or monitoring of those materials if they are to be used by a student and dispensed as ADHD medication or any other form of medication might be. So I'm not sure what your consideration is for that. As I know right now, the Department of Education has not presented any draft language for schools as an example for that. But if we can help in any way, let us know.
I'd be curious if OSBA, if it's Ohio School Boards Association, wouldn't have some kind of breakout sessions on that.
And if you
probably.
Know, let me know too.
And I can even, maybe we can suggest that to some people.
In the states that have legalized it
for recreational or medical?
Medical, recreational,
there's still an 18-year-old limitation, is there not?
For most of those states, yes. Yeah. And that it would be true to enter. So, yes. But
okay, so from the 15 years to 13.
However, there is most recently a sixth grader permitted in another state with a medical
condition or something else. Okay.
Yeah. I hate to run, I'm sorry.
Okay. Yeah. No, well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, moving on. Let's see. We're now to need a motion to approve minutes from our November 30th regular meeting, our December 11th special meeting, and our January 8th organizational meeting. Motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Any comments or anybody see anything that they thought of? Okay, everyone looked good to me. All right, then roll call, please.
Ms. Powers.
Yes.
Ms. Savage.
Yes.
Mr. Luke.
Yes.
Mr. Smith.
Yes.
Ms. Devine.
Yes. Motion carries. Next, we need a motion to approve the treasurer CFO action items.
So
motion by Ms. Powers.
Second.
Second by Ms. Savage. Did you want to have anything to...
We've got a few items on there of note. There's a revision to the Coleman's Crossing TIF for approval. We're approving a new art honors club at the high school. And also would like to thank Ms. Devine and Ms. Savage. They're on there for donating to our stadium drive. So they are our first donors. And we'll be seeing...
hopefully not the last.
Not the last.
We're just starting that ball rolling. Throwing out the challenge, guys, okay?
Uh-oh.
I just wanted to get your name up there first.
Oh. No, I'm just really excited about the project. I really am.
Yeah.
So. Good for our community. Good for our district. Okay. Anybody have any questions?
No.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for all the good financial information. And roll call, please.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. Next item would be a motion to approve the superintendent action items.
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Ms. Powers and second by Mr. Smith. Ms. Mankins, any comments?
I have several things on there. We have our kind of traditional HR items. We have some first read policies that just updated language or brought us into compliance with new changes. You also received the course of study books for the early college and high school. That scheduling process, as you know, is taking place now. The window opened for declaration day today. I think it was at 4:30, so students have till the end of the month. You'll notice in the high school course of study new pathway offerings that have not been in there before in terms of a performing arts pathway. There was a change to let you know that we did not meet the criteria for College Credit Plus, but we'll still be offering that pathway. And then also there's business pathway and turf management, which Sean alluded to a little bit ago. So excited about those getting started and building that skill base. You also have the MSA agreement, overnight trips, a wrestling trip for the middle school, and also the 8th grade DC trip for next school year.
Okay. Anybody have any questions?
I'm very pleased that we're adding additional pathways with high school. We have said all along that this is a journey, it's a growth, and some things happened early, and some things are happening now, and some things will happen in the future as we expand opportunities for the kids. So excited for that.
Yep. And it's nice to, I mean, we just have a great relationship with High Point too, you know, and Columbus State. It's just nice to see all those partnerships kind of continuing to grow. And also I just wanted to comment about that, the idea of the Declaration Day and that, you know, the students choosing where they're going to be attending. I think that's really exciting. Let's see.
Also, on the MSA sport agreement, I'm really excited about this. They're going to be a good group of people to work with, I think. And I know that as we move forward on the stadium project, the goal is to do it right and to make sure that things are done appropriately, and it's going to be nice being able in a couple of years to look at and see the finished product. I think mm-hmm. that's going to be fantastic.
Yep.
I agree.
Me too. Okay. If there's no other questions, then roll call.
Ms. Powers?
Yes.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes. Motion carries. And now to the comments and questions. Mr. Smith.
Thanks yes. to Northwood for hosting the presentation. You know, was wonderful and always exciting to see what's going on. I think the posters that we saw tonight and the kids that are involved in that's just the best there is. Mm-hmm. Again, going back to the project, we've got a company that has worked with professional facilities, Cincinnati Reds Stadium, colleges like Miami, I think OU, Bowling Green. So we've got somebody who knows what they're doing, so I'm really excited about that.
Again, thank you for hosting us. We really appreciate it. Loved your update. Loved the fact that the kids are themselves coming up with ideas to honor the community and that they've bought into the mindset, you know, care, respect, leadership. I think that speaks very highly of the thought process we're putting into the young children in the district.
So I am going to triple that on the thank you. And even though I don't have any grandchildren at this school, I think Dick has a great idea. Greg there should get the call too. Yeah, that might be kind of fun. I mean, when we're, you know.
I need it out. I'm sure he's shared out there a lot of times. That's always a favorite.
It's great to be here. Thank you. I also really appreciate the. That drug campaign looks like really good things happening there. Thank you, Jonathan, for waking me up at 5 o'clock in the morning so often the last couple weeks. I always enjoy hearing your voice. You're very professional. I would not even know how early.
Sometimes
it is.
It's on a delay, so I know that. I know that the phone number now. You know, like when you see the phone number,
yeah.
So I automatically hit one. So the delay, I can hear it right away.
Okay. Mr. Johnson, that's it?
Yeah, I would just say, first of all, Karen Karen shared that presentation to Admin Council today, and certainly some of the things you watched on that video is really what we're dreaming that classrooms can be. That's certainly the exemplar for the district and exciting for students. So. Great job. Keep encouraging the risk-taking.
Yes.
I heard that more than once in what you talked about, and that's fantastic. The other thing, I think all too often we hear how horrible teenagers are and all the awful things they're doing, and makes your heart feel good to see the bravery and courage, because it's not always easy to make the choice above the influence and to see so many kids walk through here and be proud to make the choice to be above the influence makes your heart feel good.
Right. I agree.
If I can, just let me jump
sure.
back in. The school calendar with the Calamity Days, mm-hmm. I just wanted to say that after many years of having the first 5 days when schools were called off be the free days and then having a lot of makeups, I can remember. Was it 3 or 4 years ago? We mm-hmm. had 12 days, and the blizzard bags were not popular at all. So making up the first 2 days, then taking 5 days off, and then, you know, moving the blizzard bags as far away as we can, I think really shows the attention of the district, the focus on education, making sure that we get the most out of the educational resources that we have in our community, and at the same time addresses the needs of the parents and the students here in our school district. So I don't know who came up with that idea, but I think it's a great idea, and I really like it. So.
I agree. So I'm going to have to thank you as well. Great presentation, and this is one of my liaison buildings, so I do have the joy of coming in here and seeing a lot of those things in action, and I just love the culture here. So thank you for your leadership, and, you know, kind of starts from the top, and it's pretty clear that people are really catching on all the way down to your kindergartners, so that's really impressive. I also wanted to shout out that the MHS Showcase is this Friday and Saturday, so the Show Choir Invitational, the middle school competition will be Friday night, and then all day Saturday, the high school one. So if you have a chance to head out to the high school, that's always a very, entertaining day with some great musicians.
Invigorating.
Yes, invigorating. Tiring, too, maybe. Also wanted to just comment about our Monarch Monthly, how much I appreciate the information that's going out to our families. Just really good stuff. I kind of was noting how not the one that we just got today or yesterday, but last month they were focused on the fact that our annual energy costs are $570,000 less than the average Ohio school district. I mean, that's just amazing. And, you know, so I think that's really speaks to our Mike White and his group that maintain our buildings, and just the commitment of everybody in the district to try and be energy efficient. So that's nice for our taxpayers, and I appreciate that. Also, right after our November meeting, the Hope Center had recognized the district, the partnership that they have with our district. So I thought that was, wanted to mention that again. And then another thing was the school bus, the accident that we had, and just wanted to comment how much we appreciate the work of the bus driver and all of the chaperones on the bus and the students on the bus and everybody in the area that really came together and helped make what could have been just a terrible accident, an experience that everybody came through well for the most part. So thank you to the bus driver. And I think that's all I wanted to say. So with that, I would accept a motion for adjournment. Motion by Mr. Smith? Or did you want to say something else? Your motion? Okay. Motion adjourned by Mr. Smith. Second?
Second.
Second by Mrs. Savage. Roll call.
Mr. Smith?
Yes.
Ms. Savage?
Yes.
Mr. Luke?
Yes.
Ms. Devine?
Yes.